Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM. Yes, indeed. Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, the time now is 2:07 PM, and it is April 25th, a Monday. All that aside, there's also been some pretty engaging conversations lately about Alabama politics. And by the way, if you're ever on social media and you want to just check things out and sort of get a feel for what's being said, just go use the hashtag ALPolitics. That's where you'll find it. Facebook and Twitter especially, hashtag ALPolitics. But I was in an interesting meeting late last week, and I'm going to keep the names in place out of this discussion, but suffice to say that I was in a room with a number of conservative players in Alabama state politics. The focus of the meeting was on the fact that Alabama is a decidedly red state. Red, bright red, like there's no way around it. This is a red state in the political world. Did you know, by the way, that the 4th Congressional District of Alabama, a seat currently held by Congressman Robert Aderholt and which stretches from the Mississippi line all the way to the Georgia line and contains something like 14 counties, that Alabama's 4th Congressional District had the highest per capita vote for Trump in both the 2016 and 2020 elections nationwide? Yeah. There's not a single Democrat holding a statewide office right now in Alabama. The Republicans hold a supermajority in the Alabama legislature. A super-duper majority, if you get down to it. I mean, did Joe Biden even campaign here for the last presidential election cycle? Well, I mean, did Joe Biden campaign anywhere? But you know what I mean. Well, all that to say that the meeting that I was in last week was initiated by one senior member of Alabama's conservative political realm who opened up by saying this. He said, "We live in a red state that is being run like a purple state, and we got to fix that." And I agree. So why is that? Why is it that in a state that overwhelmingly supports the free market and tax cutting and socially conservative, non-apologetic means of political action like the kind promoted by the Trump campaign, that we have a state capital where, in great contrast, casinos are offered monopolies and education's last in the nation, gas taxes are raised exponentially, tax cuts are virtually non-existent, marijuana is legalized, the governor calls for vaccine mandates and shuts down businesses, and the legislature applauds itself for giving large pay raises to government employees and spending record amounts of state revenues? I mean, why, pray tell, does the population of this state look and sound so different than the governance that comes from our own state capital? My theory on that is this. I call it free market politics. All right, so first of all, what's the free market? Well, at its core, it's the ability of the business and the consumer to drive the train. By that, I mean that the free market represents a system by which a business that creates a mousetrap knows that it has competition and must build the better mousetrap to gain the market share it needs over the other mousetrap builders. But at the same time, the consumers, the ones who buy that mousetrap, they are strongly considered the judge and jury of the value, the pricing, the effectiveness, and ultimately the success of the mousetrap. The government has little to no interaction in free markets. The business and its consumers drive the train, and the competition makes it all work. And if you build a sorry mousetrap, you lose. So what if we applied that concept to our state politics? Think about it for a minute. What if a candidate for office who ran on the platform of being a conservative actually went to Montgomery and did the things that he or she said that they would? And in doing so, they cared and followed up on the concerns of their constituency. In free market politics, the politician would be like the one standing in the shoes of the business, the one who makes the mousetraps, if you will. In free market politics, the constituent, the voter, is the one who stands in the shoes of the consumer. The politician creates good mousetrap laws, regulations, and monetary decisions, and the constituent voters decide if he or she did it well enough. But what's missing here? Well, the crucial third factor in a true free market to include free market politics is the competition. In the absence of competition, the business has no incentive to build a better mousetrap. And in the absence of competition, the business knows it doesn't matter if their mousetrap is the most effective or the highest quality or the lowest price. None of that matters because the consumers have no choice. If the consumer has a need for a mousetrap and there's only one on the market, then the consumer loses out and winds up with a half-baked, overpriced mousetrap that may or may not even catch a mouse. And the business, well, the business gets fat and happy and the consumer loses. Well, that, my friends, is where we are right now in our state politics. My colleague said it very well in our meeting last week. We are in a red state governed like a purple state. Why? because the current leadership in the governor's house, excuse me, the governor's office, the House, and the Senate, all points in between, has no reason to build a better political mousetrap. They have no competition. There is no one within their ranks being given an opportunity to truly voice a conservative policy. Some of the best bills of the last session died in committee without seeing the light of day. I mean, you could see this kind of free market competition, if you will, in politics in other states. Like Arizona, a state with both of its current U.S. senators being Democrats, has term-limited Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey, who leaves office this year after a six-year run during which he balanced the state budget, shrunk the state government, cut taxes, and deregulated the economy. He became a favorite of fiscal conservatives. Or down in Florida, you can see daily evidence of Governor Ron DeSantis, whose political bubble includes the likes of Charlie Crist and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, of all people, just wearing liberals out. Ron DeSantis eats up more liberals before 9 a.m. than most Alabama politicians do in a year. Don't get me wrong, there's some pockets of conservatism in Alabama's group of elected officials. There really are. And I'm also not at all advocating for the growth of the Democrat Party, not one bit. But the absence of true competition, even within their own ranks, is galling. And what I'm saying is that our politics will continue to look purple until such time as the current leadership changes or at least wakes up to realize that suddenly they have competition that puts them back on their toes. And the only way that happens is if we see another wave like we saw in 2010 right here this year in the midterms, a wave of consumers who demand a better mousetrap, a wave, more aptly put, of voters who believe the free market needs a place in our politics so that our politics actually reflects who we are as a state. Free market politics. You heard it here first. It's about competition, folks. That's what gives us the edge, and it keeps the politicians from growing fat and happy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, well, there's some thoughts. And I'm going to tell you right now, free market politics, yes, what that means is competition. And we need competition within the ranks. We need to know that conservatives are being elected. It's not just having an R by your name. It's being an R conservatively. Because remember, there's a vast difference between being conservative and being Republican. We got a Republican supermajority, but we act like a bunch of moderate centrists slash Democrats. And that's why the policies that we see that come out of Montgomery are so mixed. Yeah. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.